Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. Today, I'm here with Manny the Man Lopez. This guy is out of this world. And, you know, we keep on focusing on connecting with people who have succeeded wildly in what you want to do, where you want to go, who you want to be. And Manny is one of those people who came very highly on our list. I'm so excited to be able to sit down with him and pick his brain and get some of his tools. I mean, not just for you guys, but for me. He's just an inspiring guy. I mean, check out what he's doing. So he's the founder and CEO of Custom Online Branding and makes apps and helps people all over the world market their businesses. And his client list includes people like Les Brown, Greg Reed, Frank Shankiewicz, Bill Walsh, and Forbes Riley. I mean, these people are the best of the best. He's also a co-author of the best-selling book, The Hustle Code. And he puts on his own events called Servex. And there he also brings amazing speakers, amazing teachers, just inspiring people. And 100% of all ticket sales go to a company called Together We Rise. They're a leader in foster care innovation because Manny came from the foster care system and managed to not only heal himself, but also create businesses that heal other people. And he's been featured on NBC, The Huffington Post, Bloomberg Radio, and most recently, Inc. Magazine. And get this, guys, he does this all while being a family man. He's got a beautiful wife and three amazing kids. Can you imagine that? I can't even imagine just having three kids and just doing that my whole life. So he does so many things, and we get a chance to just pick his brain and see how he does all this great stuff. So Manny, welcome to the podcast again. It's an honor. I love your work, and let's get to it, man. So you're doing all of these amazing things. What gets you out of bed every morning?
Well, man, thank you for having me on the show, Dan, and I'm super excited to be here. What gets me out of bed every morning is the drive to really help people and help people understand that they can take whatever they want to do in life, whatever they enjoy, what brings them joy, and they can turn that into their life's work. They don't have to be a slave to a 9-to-5. And I got to learn that at a very young age of 20 through a mentor and showed me this path of entrepreneurship. And I think that's what really gets me excited is I get to live my dream every day. I get to wake up and do what brings me joy. I get to surround myself with the people that are exciting to me that I get to learn from. And I'm living my dream now. How can I not? How can I not be excited?
I love that. We focus a lot on building a life that you love and piece by piece, creating a life that really gets you out of bed just because you need to, because there are too many exciting things or too many exciting people. I mean, why waste any time? But let's actually backtrack a little bit. Because people, I think, have gotten a good glimpse of how amazing your life is right now, but they might not know where you came from. So they now know, like, all right, this is what gets you out of bed now. But tell us a little bit about your roots, your origin story.
Sure. So, you know, I was born in Southern California, Riverside, and the hospital now that I was born at is currently a Lowe's. So it's no longer the hospital. I can't go back to where I was actually born. Unless I probably went to like aisle 7. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe it's aisle 8. Hopefully it's aisle 8. That's my favorite number. But either way, within 18 months, I was actually put into the foster care system. I was found in a vehicle with me and my sister, and she's 11 months older than me. I was 18 months. She was about 2.5. And we were basically, I don't know, we were left or something, but we were found in a car and turned into child protective services. We're in the foster care system, and our mother had lost her parental rights for whatever reason. And from there, we bounced around to a few homes. Foster care system was pretty unique in understanding whether people like you for who you are or what they can benefit financially from. And of course, I didn't understand any of this at that young age. You know, I just kind of bounced around different homes and was treated uniquely at each home, some good and some bad. When we were put into our final home, which was the eighth family that tried to adopt us, but ended up, everyone before that had returned us. But the eighth one ended up keeping us. The social worker would tell my new adopted families, which is about, I was about 4 years old, and well, this kid, he doesn't really talk too much. He only talks to his sister. These kids, they might be hiding food sometimes. They didn't really get fed a lot at some of the homes. So they had suffered from malnutrition. And they kind of act a little weird. So be okay with that. Be kind of prepared. And so nothing could really get them to understand what kind of kids we were. We had suffered abuse. We had suffered torture. I have a scar on my chest from being burnt with a lit cigarette. And for me, it's, I don't dwell on that at all. I don't kind of want to ever live in my past. I kind of talk about it because it brings more of a human side of nature that, hey, Manny is too blessed to be stressed, but there's a reason behind it. He's gone through some thing that people would kind of terrify to even witness, let alone experience. And so for me, I'm excited about life because I have opportunities that I was able to create for myself. And for many years, I never thought I could create opportunities. I thought I had to wait for my own. And that's what I did. I kept waiting for an opportunity. I kept waiting for somebody to give me a chance. I kept starting at the bottom and trying to work my way up. And I worked a lot of different jobs. I jumped around different place to place after after high school. And it just wasn't anything that I could find that really had said, this is Manny. This is what I'm supposed to do. I would really just try to make enough money to pay my bills that week or that month and never really thought about a long-term future. And then I had a kid at 19. That really woke me up. That was like, whoa, okay, Manny, now things are starting to get serious. You've got to start really looking at a long-term future. And so I started saying, well, okay, instead of me just looking at who's going to pay me the most money, let's look at someone that's going to be around for a long time. You know, let's look at a company that's maybe up and growing, and maybe it's not really that big yet, but it could be huge very shortly, and I could kind of start at the bottom and work my way up, and maybe I'll be a manager someday. That was my vision at 19 with my first child. And I got into this company I thought was going to last a long time. It did last a while. For me, it was 2 years. And it was my big learning experience of kind of the corporate ladder and what I needed to do to kind of create my own opportunity, because I waited for 2 years and I did everything they told me to do. I came in early. I stayed late. I worked weekends. I put in the extra work. I was number one 10 months in a row, broke every company record. And at the end of the day, they said no, right? Even though every morning they would say the number one guy is the one who gets the promotion. You want to be a manager, this is what you got to do. They laid out the blueprint and I followed it to a T and didn't get that opportunity. But here's the blessing I had at that company. That's where I found my first mentor. Before I even knew what the word mentor was, this guy came into my life. His name is Gail. He's actually at my last event I hosted just recently. And he instilled in me the concept of, Manny, you need to be too blessed to be stressed. Right, every day he would tell me, I'm too blessed to be stressed, too blessed to be stressed. And I was like, what do you mean, man? What are you talking about? There's got to be ways that you're going to be stressed out. What are you talking about? He's like, no, Manny, it's not just a saying. It's not something you just say to get people to smile and laugh. It's really a reminder to tell yourself, no matter what you're going through, you can always look at all those blessings that you have, or you can just stare at all the problems, right? I have a wife that I've been with since high school. We have three beautiful kids together. At that time, I had one beautiful kid together. We had one on the way and a nice home. You got to drive a nice car. You make good money. You're the number one guy in this company and da, 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 da. Who cares that they don't give you that opportunity? That's not yours, right? You look at your blessings. You need to be too blessed to be stressed. You're going to have stressful things that come along. You're going to have times when you have problems and you have situations you really can't control and you're wondering, what are you going to do? If you remind yourself that you are too blessed to be stressed, then you're going to think about all the things that bring you joy, all the things that make you happy, all the things that you could be thankful for, all the things that excite you and bring you that passion out of you. Or you can sit there and you dwell on that problem that, you know, 5 years from now, you can look back at it and say, wow, that was such a minuscule problem. Why did I put so much energy on it? And I look at that all the time. And then here's another big thing that really gets me to not have to dwell on anything that I fail at. Okay. This is a big thing that a lot of entrepreneurs face, and people in general. They're scared of failure. They're scared that when they don't get things their way, or the things that they tried to go for don't happen the way they expect them to, that, oh man, I just need to give up. Oh, I should just go back to what's safe, right? Well, think of it like this. A failure just means that that opportunity was more of a learning experience for you. You needed to learn more than you needed to gain, right? So if you could understand that every failure that you had is just one more learning experience away from a success, then that's just going to get you that much closer. Because then I always look at everything that I fail at, because I failed a lot, right? I may be successful today, may have great connections and client lists and be all over media and have awesome events to bring out amazing influencers and do amazing things out there to help a lot of people. But I've failed probably 10 times more than I've succeeded. At least, I'd say minimal 10 times. That's just being modest. But every time I fail now, instead of being all like, oh, I'm so sad, that sucks. Oh man, oh, why didn't I go my way? If only that happened this way, there couldn't have been, you know, you always go back into the scenario mode. If only this, then this would have happened. If only this and this, if that didn't happen, then I would have been, no, forget that. Look at what you went through and what you learned and what valuable asset you have now walking into that new experience, right? It's like playing a video game. I don't know if you play, do you play video games, Dan?
Every once in a while.
Okay, cool. I mean, I used to play video games all the time as a kid. I mean, that's what I grew up on, like Nintendo 64 and all that stuff. I was playing everything all day as much as I could. And one of the things I learned playing video games is that every time you lose, when you go back, you're smarter. You now have a better edge when you're coming back to that experience. And that's how you all are able to win, right? If you first play the game, you're going to lose on the first level on pretty much every time, right? Unless you have experience in that kind of industry in a sense. But if you're playing a game for the very first time, like entrepreneurship, you're going to fail. It's very rare you're going to jump in and just be an expert and just go all the way to the end and boom, you won the jackpot. I mean, that's super rare. They need to understand that. If they can go through an experience and learn something from it, take that into the next level and the next level and the next level, you'll win the game eventually. But you just got to keep going. You can't give up. I mean, I would go probably months playing one game trying to win it and be like, what's so frustrating? I can't win it. Every single game that I kept being persistent at, I won. And that's the game of life. You do that, you'll win.
Love it. Oh my God. All right. So I got to take a second here, Manny, and just help put even more emphasis on a couple of the, it's not even nuggets, but like little gold mines that you just dropped so casually during that. Okay. So the first thing is that you can change your focus. It doesn't have to be a hard thing, right? You do it by reminding yourself you're too blessed to be stressed and using that to focus on gratitude. Now, that's one of my favorite tools. I call it a freaking superpower when I teach it in my workshops because it's insane. And everybody's got their own little tools and tips and tricks. I love yours, right? It's to really look at your blessings and understand how many things are incredible in your life at this moment. And the more you do that, it's actually physically impossible to be stressed out when you're doing that. Your brain actually can't handle it. And that's just a gorgeous thing, right? And that you can reframe the things that are going on. So guys listening, if you want, go back to the episode that we talked about worldviews, because Manny is a living example of there is no failure, only feedback. And I love the way that you put it, that sometimes you need to learn more than you need to gain. I thought that was genius. And it's so true, because sometimes I feel like I fail forward in life. You ever had that, Manny, where it's like you have failure after failure after failure and then huge success and then failure after failure after failure and massive success? You know, in the moment, it can be a little confusing because I don't even know how I got here. I feel like I've been failing all these times, but really just learning the lessons over and over and over again until I can use them all and create something beautiful. And when you can focus on that and get what you're really learning out of it and understand that there are many different ways to gain from an experience. It might not always be financial, right? And it might not always be the goal that you set out to get. But if you can burn that into your mind that you're going to gain something and it's going to be valuable, as long as you recognize it as being valuable, then it'll help you succeed in so many ways. And again, there you go, man. You know, I mentioned it on the Worldview episode that almost every successful person has said something like fail often and fail early. And you know, you're the living example of it. I love that. 10 times failures or more for every success. I mean, yes, but that's amazing because your successes are massive and you don't need to start from anywhere amazing. You started from being found in a car. So if you can do that and do what you're doing now and live a life that gets you out of bed because you genuinely, passionately love everything that's in it, I feel like anybody can really do anything. And it's just, it's astonishing to see this path. So let's dig a little bit more into, you know, these internal resources that you've been using or that you have used in order to get yourself to where you are. We've gone over gratitude and being able to learn from your failures. Do you have anything else that you've used or relied upon internally that has helped you turn things around from being alone and not feeling safe to struggling through business to getting to where you are now?
I think the biggest thing that always helps whenever I'm struggling is seeking counsel, is finding the person with the answer and seeking that answer. Because I know I'm not the all-knowing. I will never know everything, right? Here's a very clear example. Right now, I'm dealing with an issue with my car, right? I got in a car accident a couple of months ago, just about 2 months ago. And I have no idea about anything in the car business. I didn't grow up fixing cars, or I don't even know how to change my own oil. It's literally that bad, okay? So I don't know anything that I'm supposed to know. And so I don't know if I'm getting the right information. I'm talking to the mechanic guy and I'm just like, what am I supposed to be doing? So I made a post on Facebook kind of seeking counsel. I'm like, who can help me with this? I don't know what I'm doing. And some guy reaches out to me and he's like a former inspector and a guy who actually goes and inspects cars after they've been in a collision. And he makes sure that they're doing everything according to the bar and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, perfect, right? He goes down there today, talks to the mechanic guy, and he comes back to me and he goes, Manny, here's all the questions you need to ask. Here's everything I looked at. Here's all the questions I asked him. And I was like, dude, this is crazy. Like, I didn't even know anything about the frames. And I mean, he just made it where I had that clarity. And a lot of people are missing that, right? Whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you are not, whether you just are a human on this earth, we have that problem is clarity, is finding how do we become clear on a problem that we can't seem to solve ourselves? And the only way I've been able to do that with success is counsel, is finding somebody who is an expert in that space and going to them and saying, what do I need to do? What are the questions I'm not asking? What do I need to understand that I'm not understanding? And once you kind of go that route in every aspect of life, that's kind of what I've been focusing on is, I want to find the expert in everything. I want to find the top level person and build a great relationship with them where it's not me looking at how can I monetarily benefit? Because to me, knowledge is more valuable than currency. I'd rather be able to spend 5 minutes with you and ask a couple of questions than for you to spend $5,000 with me or $10,000 with me. Because if I can get that 5 minutes and ask that one right question, that gives me that knowledge that will take me to that next level. Who knows what that monetarily could be worth, but it's more of how much more value can I bring to other people? Because now I'm able to create more influence with my knowledge, right? If I'm able to be knowledgeable in a subject that I'm not knowledgeable at all, then that brings more valuable to me, more valuable to myself, more value to where I can see me wanting to be in a conversation of that space, right? Where it's not like I'm just lost and without clarity. So I think if you focus on counsel, that is where you'll get your answers. And if you do not have the answers, just find somebody, like you said at the beginning of this podcast, we want to find people that have had success in what we are trying to accomplish. If you just focus on that, that clarity will come no matter what challenge you have in front of you.
That's beautiful. And for the listeners, are you guys starting to see a trend? how every successful person seems to always go back to a mentor, to getting that counsel and having that be maybe the tool that they use when times get tough or when they don't know what to do. Because I know when I started off, I felt like I needed to suddenly know everything. I needed to know marketing. I needed to know advertising. I needed to know how to make a website and business cards. I needed to know how to dress professionally. I needed to know all of the skills that I was going to use for my business. I needed to know and know and know and know and know. And now I'm thankful at a place where I want to know one thing really freaking well. And then a lot of people who can teach me everything else or just do it for me.
Surround yourself with the experts and you'll become an expert in your space. You know, you have to carve your own little niche. And that's what I do. I focus on my little niche, and that's allowed me to get myself surrounded with all of the experts and be able to.
Because then you can share your expertise with them, and you have something, and you said something really important, to serve people. So I think that, you know, sometimes people get the idea that if they find a mentor or someone who could teach them something, they won't have something that they can give in return. They feel like they only can give money. And if they don't have any to start with, maybe they can feel like, how am I going to get anybody to help me? But you illustrated something very clearly that you do have an area of expertise and you can give them something. You can share something. You can share something that they don't know. And you can serve other people and create this network of people just helping each other out, trading their expertise. And that's so strong.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at what businesses value, because when I started my company, I left a space where I was B2C, where I was basically business to consumer. I was working with just the normal average Joe, right? And then I said, you know, I want to work with people that own a business, the entrepreneur community, the small business community. I want to focus on the little guy that wants to kind of focus on developing their own idea, because I got that kind of taste myself. I was looking at, wow, I could develop whatever I want just because I just decided to. Right? I live in a world that I can create my own destiny if I decide to and put enough effort in and surround myself with enough people that can help me create success and understand that I'm going to have bumps and bruises along the way. And that's the biggest benefit I had from a mentor is he told me before we even started, it's going to get bumpy. It's going to be crazy. You're going to fail a bunch of times, but understand you are too blessed to be stressed. Let those stressful situations be learning experiences. You surround yourself with the people that are having the success in what you want to do. Don't just talk to people that are not doing what you want. Don't take those opinions, right? I've had multiple mentors now, and they all kind of tell you the same thing. It's being of value to your own specific ideas or niche or group of individuals. Be very specific, okay? Then build value by understanding that knowledge in that space. You have to be a sponge for knowledge. You have to invest in yourself and understand. This is another thing that really was not taught by my mentor. Something I kind of, Netflix taught me this. Okay. Check this out.
Netflix.
Yeah.
All right.
Mindset creates reality. Okay. Now check this out. Okay. Me and my wife, we're watching Netflix. We're doing this Netflix and chill thing, right? Where, you know, just the kids are about to go to sleep and we're watching, I don't know what we're watching, but we're watching something, and then a scene came on where a man and a woman was arguing. And at the end of the scene, I'm kind of laughing, right? And then she's kind of frustrated. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, we watched the same exact thing. Like, that wasn't funny? And she's like, no, that was like so rude. And da-da-da. I was like, huh, interesting. And so I've kind of looked at it, I'm like, wow. I mean, it just depends on the person, and they could look at the same exact thing. You know, it's not just looking at a different angle, right? We're literally right next to each other, watching the same screen, the same exact sound. I mean, we're having no difference. It's just looking at it and taking what you saw, and that created your reality. Your reality of that created an area of disrespect and rudeness, and that should be appalling versus, man, that was funny. And creating an experience of joy out of that. Right? She could then at the end of that episode or what we were watching be in a totally bad mood because she's thinking about that situation and thinking about, oh man, that's rude and da da da. And I could be laughing about it and having a joyous time and my experience for the next hour could be joyful, right? But that mindset that created my reality and that created her reality. right? And everybody, even through the same exact experience, could have a different effect, and their reality could be completely different. So by understanding other people's reality, you understand that you'll never see things the way other people see things. And if you can just say, be more curious about how they see their reality, it could be a good door opening to how they experience life and how you could bring value to them. Because people see what they want to see, right? They see what they're looking for. And that is a very powerful concept that most people don't really realize, that if you could tap into what people are looking for and show them how to focus on joy, that could turn around a lot of things. Because some people, they're in a depressed state because all they focus on is negative. They focus on the bad things that happen. They focus on every bad possible situation that could happen. And they live in a negative mindset, negative reality, right? Or you can think about everything that could be great about that situation, everything that could be positive about that experience, everything that could be an optimistic outcome from that experience.
Love it.
And live in a state of joy. It's your choice.
Yeah, and there's something really powerful in that. First, we accept that everybody has their own personal reality. And that comes from their own personality, who they are, their experiences, their background. Because each person is unique. Each person lives in their own unique reality that might not be shared by anybody else on this planet. And so when we connect, it's like universes colliding sometimes. Because they could be so different, even though we're watching the same exact thing. So when we're looking at connecting with other people, serving other people, even if it's just friends or wives, right, having a good time on the couch, or whether it's clients, or it could be people who are potential partners, that it's really critical to be able to step outside of ourselves, kind of climb into their world, see how they see things so that we can build those connections and then serve them even more, sometimes even helping them out of this negative world that they've built for themselves, because maybe they don't even see that. Maybe they don't even know what's going on, that they're finding these negative things because they're looking for them. They just think that's what life is. And because you can see something different, you can help them into seeing maybe your place, your reality. And the gorgeous thing about that, there are a couple of different things here that I really love, is that first of all, when we serve other people, when we help other people, we feel amazing ourselves.
Yes.
I think a lot of time it could be really consuming for us when we're feeling in a rut or we're not feeling great to think, how am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do to feel better for me? And sometimes the solution is help someone else feel better or serve someone else. Like, get out of your own head, get out of your own reality that you're building for yourself, finding what you're seeking, and help someone else and let that positive energy heal you too.
Oh, yeah.
And who knows, maybe they'll return the favor. Right? It's like just sharing that expertise as well. Maybe they see something that you're not. And when we do good things to other people, their natural inclination is to do something good in return, right? It's called the law of reciprocity. We want to. It's sort of like when I say, hey, Manny, I love that hoodie. Your natural inclination is to say something complimentary back, right? Or do something, or just reach out with your positive energy, even if it's just a smile as a thank you to send me some good stuff. So we help each other out, but that would never really happen unless I thought about, well, how can I climb into your world and help you feel a little better?
Yeah. I think it's when you understand how people think, you understand that you don't understand how people think. You really look at it like, wow, everyone could be so different just based on how they grew up and all the experiences that they've accumulated through their entire life that created what they are today. And I've seen that if you focus on just trying to understand first, it will definitely put you in a lot of better position to be able to serve. My focus is always trying to create opportunities. Let me create an opportunity for you. Let me create an opportunity for everybody to kind of collaborate together, because that enables me to be able to see how I can bring value to people, right? If I put on an event and I invite entrepreneurs and I invite people that are supportive of nonprofits, well, then I'm putting a certain demographic in the room together, people that want to serve, people that want to care. If I put together the event that was all focused on how to supersize your business and get 5,000 leads in the next couple of days, you know, selling on that sense, I'm going to attract a certain type of people to the room.
Right.
I want to surround myself with a certain type of people. I want to take out the certain people that I know aren't going to be a good fit for me. And you have to understand there's 7 billion people in this world, okay? You have access to at least 2 billion of them, minimally, okay? Why do you think that you need to accommodate every single person that comes across?
Ooh, powerful.
Most people think that, oh my gosh, if you know if I don't do it this way, this client's not going to do business with me, or this, I might lose business in this sense. Like, how do you lose business by being you, right? If you're not going to be you, then you're just a copycat of somebody else. And you're never going to be as good of a copycat for anybody else. You'll be the best you. So you need to focus on something that brings you joy. Focus on even the smallest niche that what it could be of who you can bring value to. And that will expand. You'll be able to reach out to more people. My focus was small mom and pop businesses. I wanted to get the one person owner businesses that either had a brick and mortar store, or they were maybe in insurance or something like that. They work from home. Right. Mm-hmm. And that expanded to now me working with superstar influencers. I mean, I'm working with people like Ty Lopez and Les Brown. I mean, I never thought I would even be in the same room with these people, let alone partnering on projects with them. You know, it's just crazy. So you just never know where your passion can take you. But if you follow your passion will take you far. You'll just understand that if you just keep focusing on what you love to do, that will open so many doors of opportunity that you'll be able to choose which path is going to make you excited. But if you just follow money, I'm telling you, you can make money in doing anything. I mean, come on, people become a millionaire selling a pet rock.
Especially these days.
Yeah.
You,
I mean,
do anything.
You can just and go buy $100 in some crypto and wait for it to blossom in a year. And all of a sudden, a millionaire, right? So there's all kinds of ways that you can go about creating money or creating currency. But
right.
That's never going to fulfill you, no matter how rich you get. And you can get rich doing anything, right? So you can, like I said, there's a guy that made millions of dollars selling pet rock, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh my God, did you hear that? There was actually a company recently that started selling a pet rock, and they actually sold out online. They had like two different sizes. They put a pet rock in a leather case. It's some big luxury brand. I don't even want to say the name. But I mean, it's crazy.
Awesome.
They're like, hey, money can be made out of anything nowadays. Let's go sell a pet rock again. Let's throw it out there.
And it
works.
Yeah.
Because we have the ability to target online. I can go there. I can go on Facebook. I can go on any one of these social media platforms. And now I can target people by their interests and what they're actually clicking on and liking or talking about. So, you know, once you can understand that for what you want to put out there, you can tap into any niche out there without ever even leaving your bedroom.
Right. So I want to unpack some of the core beliefs that you threw out. Again, just like gold mine after gold mine after gold mine. Guys, you're going to need to listen to this interview again, straight up. And we're going to put it to a close soon, because otherwise Manny's going to give you way too freaking much to process. It's going to take you a month of just listening to this thing over and over and over again. And it'll be totally worth it. So, okay. In the last like 2 minutes, in no particular order, just how I'm bringing this stuff back up. I'm getting, first of all, money's not everything. And it's really hard to say that when we're first starting off. We say, I don't have money. I need money in order to pay the bills. I need money in order to do this. So that's my focus. I need to live. I need to pay for my rent.
Yes.
But the thing is that you can go through life in two different directions. You can try to make money and then find what you enjoy and what brings you happiness and fulfillment and connections. And I think that's the slow way. I think that's the least fulfilling way, because money is the most surface thing. It doesn't really do anything other than give us problems. I mean, it can create a lot for us as well. It could be a tool. But the problem is, if we focus on it, if that's our, it's like in the Bible, right? It's not money's evil. It's the love of money is evil. It's not money itself. It's the meaning that we give to it. So if we focus on that money, I believe that all that's going to do is create issues. But if you said something like, hey, you know what, forget that. I know you're starting off stressed out. I know you need to pay for things, but you know what's going to bring you the most financial gain? Accepting who you are, bringing out all your quirks and weirdnesses and weird focuses that make you amazing, that make you an individual that people will love and respect and follow, and then build on those. Use those as your strengths instead of trying to become even more widely acceptable. You said, you know, 2 billion people, why do you need all of them? How about just a little piece of that? And you're going to connect with them by being who you are, by really presenting yourself powerfully with all of everything that's going on with you, you know, good, bad, and the ugly, and presenting yourself with powerful vulnerability, focusing in on what you want in your specific market, specific niche that's going to make you happy and fulfilled. And then your clients are going to love you for it. And they'll want to do business with you. And they will find you, and so will your financial gain. And then you'll be able to build on that. And you'll be able to grow. And who knows where that could take you? That could take you to working with celebrities and superstar influencers. But it's got to start with you, with your emotions there, with your powerful positivity toward who you are and what you do and how you serve people. And allow that to draw in everything else. I think I got everything you were saying there. Let me know if I missed anything. Did I catch everything you were trying to say there?
Definitely. I think, awesome. What would you say is probably this biggest question that a lot of the people that listen to your show would ask? You know, what is the kind of the biggest challenge that they're facing?
So the biggest challenge here would be getting unstuck. So we've got people who are just starting their businesses, or people who have gotten to a certain level doing what they've been doing, but it's no longer good enough. They want to break through to the next level. And some of them might not even understand that those two are almost the same. That when you're starting off and trying to break through and trying to get things going, or whether you're at a level of success, you're trying to break through to the next one, that the limitations are all coming from your own mindset, from your own emotional system, and your perceptions of yourself and your business. And they're trying to make those shifts so that they can see the breakthroughs in their lives. And there are some people working with relationships and their health and wellness as well. But I think the big thing is probably going to be in their businesses.
Cool. So, I mean, a lot of it definitely is on the mindset. And what I've seen that's created my success and a lot of what I do is focusing on the quality, not quantity. This day and age, we tend to look at numbers a lot too much, right? We look at these social media people like, oh, how many followers do they have on social media? The funny thing is, you know, I've got a Facebook page, over 30,000 fans on it. Yet my profile is where I actually generate. It's my number one lead source in my business. 34% of my business comes from my Facebook profile.
Wow. Okay.
And I would say less than 2% of my business comes from my Facebook page.
Sure.
It's a fraction of the amount of people, but it's quality, right? It's focusing on, here's my kind of blueprint to success. If any business, if you can create 1,000 super fans in your business, you would be able to be successful in any endeavor that you follow through on. And of course, you brand yourself to those super fans. You're not branding maybe a company, but yourself, mm-hmm. because yourself could do as many different types of endeavors. Look at myself. I just launched a book. I've got a TV show in the works. I host events. I have products that I launch through, you know, marketing services that I promote. So there's a lot of different things that I do, but it all ties into one space, the entrepreneurial space, the business space. And my focus since starting my business is to create just 1,000 super fans. And what is a super fan? It's not just somebody that likes your content or follows you online. It's somebody that will shout to the rooftops who you are, what you do, what you're promoting, what you're getting out there. And they'll reach out to more people about who you are and how you do things. So I think if you focus on really bringing value to people up front, 80% of sales, this is something from the National Sales Executive Association, showed that 80% of sales are made between the 5th and the 12th contact. So When I understood that concept, I stopped selling. I started serving. Because why sell if only 2% of sales, in the same report, 2% of sales are made on the first contact. That means out of 100 people that would have bought your services, if you were to try to sell them on the first grow round, only 2 would have bought. The other 98, they would have just said no. They would have waited. Right. They still would have been customers at some point because this is that 100 out of 100 sales, right? They still would have been your customer.
Sure.
But they won't take action on the first go round. Even on the second one, only 3%. 80% of sales start between the 5th and 12th contact. And less than 10% of businesses even go past 3 contacts. So if you serve first in a variety of ways, just giving value, whether that's knowledge, whether that's resources, whatever that may be that you come up with, you give it up front first, that will position you as the expert. Here's another crazy statistic. I bet most people don't know this. Only 3% of people that learn your entire blueprint. Let's say you sat down with somebody, Dan, and you said, here's exactly how I make all my money. Here's exactly how I generate business. Here's exactly how I would, if you were to work with me, exactly what I would do. Here's the entire blueprint. Mm-hmm. You could take this and just do it yourself for free, right? Mm-hmm. You give that to them, 97 of them would not take action without you.
Whoa, that's crazy. I did not know that.
Only 3% would actually try to take action without you. Whether they have success, who knows?
Wow.
But they would only attempt would be 3. The other 97 will just see you as the expert. If you could simplify it enough for them to understand how they would do it, mm-hmm. then they would say, well, this guy obviously knows what he's doing. This is the guy I should go with. He's simplified enough that I can understand it. He makes it clear for me. Hmm. And most people, they value their time over their money if you're in the right space.
Sure.
Then versus doing that, then you say you got to make your proposition valuable, right? If I'm going to express something to you, like if I have an offer, if I have a mobile app, or if I have some type of thing that I'm going to be doing, whether you're a consultant or a coach or a speaker, you have to get that person on the other side of that negotiation table to say your ask, whatever it is that you're asking for, is so much more valuable than what it is I'm getting.
Sure.
Right? Or around in a sense where it says, whatever you're giving me is so much more valuable than that money you're asking.
Yep.
So if you can make sure that upfront serving is there, that's where you're going to have that value. Before you even ask for anything, that value is way, way up there, right? And then when you actually go to say, hey, I've got a tremendous offer that you can jump on, or hey, I have an opportunity for us to collaborate together to work on a project, now it's just going to make a lot more sense. They understand you. They know your value up front. They know what you can bring to the table. You don't have to sell anything. Sure. At that point, it's more of a collaboration. And that's kind of the business that I like to work with. I'd rather build a relationship for 5 years, never even do business together. And then when we finally do business, we just blow things up, right? It just makes more sense because now you guys both understand each other. You're in a better position to make sense of everything and you get that clarity.
Love it. So guys, you got to serve. Focus on serving as much as you can for so many different reasons, for your business, for your finances, for your well-being, for your emotions, for your relationships. That's why Manny's event is called ServeX. And it's all about that. That's one of the big secrets. And unfortunately, that's really all the time that we've got for this one. Guys, again, please listen to this interview one more time. And I know that people are going to want to reach out to you, Manny, to either continue a conversation one-on-one. I'm sure they've got a lot of questions for you, or maybe they'd like to work with you. So guys, Manny's website where you can actually set an appointment with him is www.fromorphantoceo.com. That's www.fromorphantoceo.com. Manny, it's been an honor, a true privilege to get some time to pick your brain about this. I know I learned a hell of a lot, and I'm excited to continue working with you and watching you just take off.
Definitely, man. Appreciate the time that I've been able to share with you today, because it's really about helping other people, making sure that what we learn on this earth doesn't just go to us in the grave. And thank you for allowing me to be able to share my story and be able to share the stuff that I've kind of learned along the way of getting all these little bumps and bruises that I've got.
Hey, my pleasure.
These are blessings more than bruises, so I enjoy them.
Right? Too blessed to be stressed.
Oh, yes.
All right, guys. Until next time, please, please take some action, even if it's just one thing today, to make your life even better. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Thanks.